The Lord has been so good to us. And one of the ways He's good to us, He gives us His Word. Let's take God's Word and find, please, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been preaching off and on over the last course of a month or so on the family. We want to come back to that theme this morning in chapter 6 of Ephesians. The Lord is good to us in so many ways. We've been reminded of that in our singing today. God loves us. Oh, how He loves us. The greatest proof was on the cross. But daily in our families, we are reminded of God's goodness, God's love and grace. God wants us to have His joy, His peace, His blessing in our families and in our homes. And so we're looking at what the Bible says about a Christian home. We've already covered in chapter 5 God's word to the women, that is God's word to the wife, and then God's message to the men, that is the husband. Now we come to chapter 6, and today we're going to consider God's command for children. And then in a coming message, we'll be dealing with God's plan for parents. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And all God's children said, Amen. Would you bow with me for prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we stand amazed at Your love and Your grace. Father, we're so thankful for Your goodness to us all. Thank You for reminding us of that in that good song we just heard, and for the other songs about Your love and how You demonstrated that love for all of us, even when we were yet enemies, rebels, when we did not love You. Yet You still loved us and proved that love. Lord, we stand amazed today. And now to have Your Word to guide us, instruct us. And Lord, we pray now that Your Holy Spirit would guide us and help us to understand and apply what we hear, what we find today. Lord, all of us need help in our homes. We stand constantly in need of more grace, more instruction, more encouragement, more forgiveness. And so, Lord, today we pray that we'd open our hearts and lives to You. May we be teachable, and may we be yielded. May we be submissive and obedient to what we hear, what we see. Lord, we just pray that You would have Your way in our lives, in our families today. And as we come through the message of the time of invitation, whatever it is that You're calling us to do or to be, may we be ready, willing to hear the call and answer it. We pray in Jesus' name, Amen. A Christian home. A Christian home. Well, we are reminded as we think about the home that our homes are not perfect, by no means. We're not talking about perfection. The Lord does not call for perfection, thankfully, but He is interested in direction. He wants us to go His way, to live by His precepts, His commands. And He's laid out for us some very clear instruction in chapter 5 and now in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. As I've said, we've already straightened all the wives out and all the husbands out, haven't we? Everything's hunky-dory. Who was it that said, "Ah, to live above where all is love, that will be glory. But to dwell below with those we know." Now that's a different story. How true that is when it comes to our family life. We just need God's grace, don't we? And yet, let's not settle for a second-rate home. God's calling us to a higher standard. He's calling us to a blessed home, a wonderful family life, and it is possible. Now, we see here in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, we see some very simple and straightforward commands. And let's just get right to them. I'm going to share several things with you. First of all, I want you to think about what it says right here in verse 1. And that is, children, obey your parents. Obedience to parents. Sounds simple, is simple. And yet, how easily and how often we violate that command, and we suffer because of it. But I don't want us to overlook it or slight it. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, some children, I guess all of us at one time or another, might think, if we don't say it, at least we think it, well, my parents are not always right. And that's true. Parents are not always right. But that's not what the verse says, is it? It doesn't say obey them because they're right. It says obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. Parents are not perfect, and only perfect children could expect perfect parents. And there's no perfect children, there's no perfect parents. And so we have this clear, straightforward, simple command, and only one reason given for it, and that is, this is right. Now when it says, obey your parents in the Lord, that means because you are in the Lord and you're under the Lord, that's another way of saying you're saved, you're submissive, you're surrendered, you're spirit controlled. Because of all that, then you will want to obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. All relationships we are seeing here, husbands, wives, parents, children, whatever direction and however way we see these, it's all because of God's grace and it's all for His glory. Just like with husbands and wives, we are preaching on that, not just so husbands can have a better wife, wives can have a better husband, we can have better marriages, not just so we can have better relationships between parents and children and parents. That is a side benefit to all of what we're seeing and what we're preaching and what we're hearing and what we're applying. But the bottom line and the main reason is so much greater than all of that and is discounted. What's the difference? We want to be a different kind of home, a Christian home. And for that reason, we obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me give you a parallel verse that's found in the book of Colossians. Very similar to what we find here, but it says it this way. Colossians 3 verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You obey them not just to please them, but above and beyond that, to please God. And if we please God, does it really matter whom we displease? But if on the other hand we displease God, does it matter whom we please? Of course not. Our first and foremost thought in every relationship, in every act, in every attitude, in every day of our lives ought to be, Lord, I want to please You. And especially in our home life. So in order to be pleasing to God, in order to obey this command, we have to obey our parents no matter what. We obey them because this is the right thing to do. Now notice verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Well, what's the difference between obeying and honoring? Well, one has to do with action, that's obedience, and the other one has to do with attitude, and that is to honor father and mother. If you look up the word honor, it has this idea. It means to attach weight to or significance to someone. When you honor someone, you hold them in high esteem. You do not slight them. You do not discount them. You don't dismiss them as insignificant or trivial. But you hold them in high regard, what they think, what they say, what they want. It's an attitude of honoring father and mother. It's an attitude of respect. That's what it is. We understand that word, don't we? Respect. Have we come so far in our world and in our nation that we no longer understand the word respect? We don't see much of it. But surely we still understand that term of respecting our parents, our father and our mother. And how do we know if we respect them? Well, it's in our heart. That's where it starts. One clear way about honoring father and mother is the way we talk to them and the way we talk about them. It says volumes of how we feel in our heart. I grew up in a home, and I trust many of you grew up in a home, and even you young ones. I hope that you're growing up in a home where back talk was not permitted. And it met with resistance of sometimes a firm kind. You know? Well, what is back talk? It's just dishonor. That's what it is. Disregard. I don't care what you think, Mom. This is what I think. This is what I think, Dad. That could be dangerous to your health. Amen? We're not to do that. We are to honor. Listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Notice how that is couched right in the middle of fearing God and having respect for God and honoring God's day, the Sabbath day. Right in the middle of that, fear your mother. Fear your father. We've come a long way, I'm afraid, from that. But this is what God's calling us back to honor father and mother. There's another translation, a modern translation, that reads this way in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 16. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. I find that interesting how they made that in the modern translation. In the King James, it actually brings out the meaning of dishonor when it says this in the King James Version. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say amen. That is, all the congregation should agree with that. This is what it is to dishonor mom and dad, to set light by them. Just to treat them as if their opinion is worth very little. What they think, what they expect, what they want. That's not of concern to me. Oh, it is of concern. It's of concern to God, and it must be of concern to us. Now, it says here, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The promise is there in verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Did you know that of all the commandments, this is the one in the Ten Commandments that had a promise attached to it? And that is, for those who honor father and mother, God says, you'll live well and you'll live long in the land. And sure enough, God made a big deal of that through and through the Old Testament. Honor father and mother. Fear father and mother. Not only is it a command that's attached with a promise, but it's also the first of the commandments dealing with our relationship with other people that has to do with the home. For example, the Ten Commandments start out, thou shalt have no other God before me. You know the Ten Commandments, don't you? Nod if you know the Ten Commandments. At least you know they're in the Bible, okay? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. You remember those? Those first four have to do with God, our relationship with God primarily. And then, honor your father and mother. That's the fifth one. That's the first of the second group that deals with how you deal with other people. Talks about adultery. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't kill. That's on a horizontal level. But the first one, honor your father and mother. And the first one with a promise attached to it, that it'll be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. Well, there's more to say about honoring father and mother, and that's what I'd like to do as we kind of unfold this message a little bit more. It says honor father and mother, but there's some other verses in the Bible that tell us how to honor father and mother. In other words, what does that mean day to day? How can we truly honor our father and mother? Yes, it begins with an attitude, but I want to try to help us to see how this works out in practical living. Another way we honor our parents is by helping our parents. That is, with assistance, the things that need to be done around the house, just being generally helpful. For example, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, which is a very practical book, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causes shame." Of course, we know the Bible is written in an agricultural type society, and most everybody was a farmer or had livestock or something. And so the Bible says, a wise son gathereth in the summer, that is, works in the harvest field. You know the old saying, make hay while the sun shines? You know? And so that's what it's getting at. Be helpful to dad in the harvest field. Whereas a son that sleeps during harvest is a son that causes shame. How do we bring that into our day? It simply means be helpful around the house. Take out the trash. Maybe wash the dishes. At least put them in the dishwasher. Pick up after yourself. You know, maybe make the bed, sweep the floor, do something. Ladies, young ladies, you can help your moms with housework. I thought I might hear an amen. Guys, you can help dad with the yard work. You ought to. You ought to want to. And if we don't help out around the house, that is, as the Bible says, like sleeping in harvest. It is shameful. So we honor parents by helping them. And we honor parents by thanking them. What a good song that was that Sissy and Steve sang and played for us about how God's been so good to us in our home. Now think about the home that we enjoy. Kids, you that are still at home, have you ever thanked your mom and dad for a roof over your heads? For warmth this time of year? I mean, it was cold this morning. To have warmth in the cool weather months and to have cooling in the hot weather months, to have water, to have, hey, somebody brings those groceries in. When's the last time you thanked mom and dad for buying groceries? For having a stock pantry, a stock refrigerator? For paying the bills? You say, well, that's their job. To pay the bills, to bring the groceries, to have the house. You would be right. That is their responsibility. But they still like to hear a thank you. Amen? And we should be grateful. And it's not always what we say, it's an attitude. Instead of an attitude of entitlement, there should be an attitude of humility and an attitude of appreciation. We just came out of October, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, and I'm glad somebody started that. I'll tell you, whoever started that, I'd just like to meet them and shake their hand. It's a pretty good idea, I think. And I think most pastors would agree. What we ought to have is a Parent Appreciation Day. Where kids just say, thanks, Mom. Thanks for all you do. Dad, thank you for all you do, all you mean to us. That's what I'm talking about. And then another way to honor our parents is to pray for our parents. Ask God to guide them and give them wisdom. Have you thought, kids, you especially are still at home, and even those of us who are grown and gone and we have our own lives, have we thought about how much we owe to our parents? Because as our parents go, so do we go. I think about this mess that our world is in today. My goodness, what happened over in Paris, you know, that's weighing heavy upon our hearts today. And we all think about ISIS, and then we think about Islam. And you know what I think whenever my mind gets on that track, and a lot of times it'll go down that road, as I say, Lord, thank you that I was brought up in a Christian home and not a Muslim home. Because I might have taken seriously the teachings of the Quran. That's what these people do, is they just take the book seriously, their religious book, and we call it radical. It's simply that they believe what's written and they try to carry it out. Whereas other Muslims are like some Baptists or Methodists. They've got a book, but they just don't pay it much mind. They know it's there, but, you know, let's not get too serious about it. But how thankful we ought to be that we were brought up to know the Lord. And if you're still at home, here's my point. Pray for your parents, because wherever they go, you'll end up going. Whatever they believe, you'll probably end up believing. And here's another thing. Parents need prayer because we're all learning as we go. It's If ever there was on-the-job training, that's parenthood. I don't know of a harder job, do you? About the time you think you've learned a thing or two, you sure haven't learned it all, but about the time you think you've learned a few things, then they fly the nest and they're gone. And there's something about, I think, every parent that we say, boy, I'd like to try that again, you know? But we learn as we go and we make mistakes, and how we need God's wisdom and direction and help and encouragement. That's what I'm saying. There's no professional parents. Have you ever thought about that? Everybody's an amateur. And there's no perfect parents. And so we need prayer. And if parents are out of the will of God, to what extent they might be out of the will of God, then children are most likely going to be out of the will of God. I've not seen any elementary school kids driving themselves to church, bringing themselves to Awana or Sunday school. It just doesn't happen, does it? So we all need to pray for our parents that they'll be led right and that God would give them wisdom to do the right thing, because it will affect us. And then another thing we do when we honor our parents is we seek to please our parents. We seek to please them. That is to be a blessing to them. Let me share some verses from Proverbs along this line. In Proverbs, it says a lot about parenthood there, and I enjoy reading it, being reminded of it. I need that. Proverbs 10, verse 1, a wise son maketh a glad father. Think about that. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. What a contrast. A wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. That is to say, children who are the right kind of children, doing what they ought to do, being the kind of people they ought to be, not perfect, not perfection, but direction. Again, I'll say, those kind of children are the greatest blessing. And that's what we should seek to be, the greatest blessing to our parents. But children that don't do right, that go off the deep end, that stray far, they're a heavy burden. So either we're going to be a blessing to our parents, or we're going to be a burden to our parents. And we want to be a blessing, don't we? We want to please our parents. Proverbs 23, verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. There's a father speaking to a son. Son, if you're wise, I can't think of greater joy. John the Apostle writes of his spiritual children, but it also applies to children in a home. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And every parent can say, I have no greater blessing than to know that my children are living for God, walking in God's ways, seeking to please God, seeking to honor God with their lives, living wise lives, godly lives. Proverbs 23, verse 24, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. And this is the point, that when God puts us in a family, our motivation, our objective, our goal ought to be, what is it that would please mom? What is it that'll please dad? Because you see, when you live that way, you're not only pleasing mom and dad, but you're pleasing God. That's the real motive, isn't it? That's what we seek, to please God and honor Him the way we honor our parents. And then enjoy your parents. That's a way of honoring them. You see, we won't be with them all of our lives. Eventually we move out and have a life of our own. And not only that, not only will we not be with them in that way, but we won't always have them with us. Because eventually they'll graduate and go on to glory. I've learned a lot this past year. Mom's been living with us, as many of you know, and I thank you for your prayers and your concern for her. She's been with us now going on, it's over a year now. And I want to say this. It has been a challenge. Anytime you have, I'll put it this way. I'm under double petticoat government. You understand what I'm saying. Double petticoat government. And so there's challenges, no doubt. There's challenges and there's, you know, adjustments and all that. But I want you to know that it has been such a blessing to have Mom living with us overall. Yeah, there's challenges. There can be frustrations. There's disagreements. You know, you have to share time and share TV and all that kind of thing. But the blessing, you see, here's the thing. I have spent more time with Mom. She spent more time with us in this last year than the previous 16 years that we've been back in Bristol. What a blessing it is to enjoy her. And I think she's enjoyed us. And that's what I'm saying. Just make the most, savor. You know, I think I didn't have that privilege with Dad because he was sick with cancer near his last year. And we were in West Tennessee. It's been about 20 years ago. And I got to see him maybe four times a year. Either when he was able, he'd come down and see us or we'd come in. And so enjoy them while you have them. Honor the time that you have with your parents. And then another thing to honor them is forgive them. Forgive your parents. You know, when they make mistakes, be quick to forgive them. There's no perfect parents, no perfect children. Here's a great verse for the family. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We sung about that this morning, haven't we? That God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, even when we were yet sinners, even when we were ungodly, Christ died for us. What love that is. What forgiveness. And we're to reflect that in our lives. And yet I'm afraid some children go through life, even as grown-ups, harboring resentment, maybe even bitterness because of bad situations in the home. Maybe it was abuse, verbal or otherwise. That's bad. But still, ask God to give you a forgiving heart. Don't cling to bitterness. Be forgiving. And sometimes it's just disappointments. You know, we go through life and how silly it is, how foolish, how dishonoring to God to say, well, if I'd have had these parents or those parents, then I might have done this or done that. No, you had the parents God wanted you to have. And thank God. And forgive them if you need to forgive them. Here's a verse. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity, that is love, shall cover the multitude of sins. What a verse that is. Love covers it all. There's a great story in the Bible that illustrates that. You remember Noah? There was Noah, Mrs. Noah. He had three sons. You remember who they were? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And their three wives. You count them up, there were only eight of them on board the ark. God sealed them and shut them in. Only eight people survived that world of that day. They came off the ark, and the Bible tells us what happened soon after. Can I read it to you? Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman. That is, Noah started farming. He went from being a sailor to a farmer. How's that? And he planted a vineyard. All right? So far, so good. Next verse. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. Now, can I just stop long enough to say this? We know this book is inspired, right? It's inspired by God. And one of the proofs of inspiration are scriptures just like this. If man had written that, they would have left that out. Here is Noah, the ark builder, the man who walked with God. And here he is now. He's planted a vineyard, and he's gotten some grapes, and he's made some wine, and he's overdone it, and now he's drunk. That's what the Bible says. God wanted us to know that because of what happens next. He was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, that's one of his boys, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without, that is outside the tent. And Shem and Japheth, what'd they do? They took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness." What a beautiful story to an otherwise ugly one. Two of those boys said, "We don't want to see Daddy like that. We don't know what's happened to Daddy." They heard from the other brother, "Did you know Daddy's drunk? Did you know Daddy's in there and he's half dressed, he's half clothed? Just look at Daddy." They wouldn't look at Daddy. They walked in backwards with a covering. That's what love does. That's what love does. Amen? What a beautiful picture. Love covers a multitude of sins. Forgive. Forgive. Forgive your parents if you need to forgive. And then learn from your parents. Pay attention to their advice. Pay attention to their counsel. Learn everything that you can from your parents. Someone has figured out that the peak years of mental ability must be between age 4 and 20. Here's why. At 4, we have all the questions, and at 20, we know all the answers. So how about that? We think we do. Isn't it amazing when you get past 20 and then you start climbing into your 20s, how much smarter your parents seem? They get smarter all the while, don't they? Oh, if we just take advantage when we're under their instruction and under their example and glean all that we can. Here's an illustration of what it's like when we're at home and when we can glean lessons and learn, get understanding from our parents. It's like if somebody was going to go out west, take a trip out west and see all the sights out there, the Grand Canyon or Yellowstone or what have you. Wouldn't you appreciate it if somebody who had already been out there and who knew the roads and knew the sights and all would talk to you and tell you, this is where you want to go eat. This is good. This is what you want to avoid. That's a bad place. There's gangs in that area. Don't go there. And you want to see this and you want to do that, but you don't want to see this and you don't want to do that. That's the way it is with parents. You see, parents have just been down the road a little longer and a little farther and a little ahead of the rest of us. And we can glean from what they're telling us. And understand this, young people. You who are still at home, please listen to me. If you could only understand that on this earth, nobody wants what's best for you more than your mama and your daddy. Deep down, nobody wants what's best for you more than they do. So don't you buy into the lie that they're trying to keep you from this and put wet blanket on that and they're just a killjoy and they're trying to make it hard on you. No, that's not it. It's because they love you and they want to help you. And we'd be wise to listen to their instruction. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A scorner, somebody, they've got it all figured out, you know, a know-it-all. And we end up learning the hard way. One last thing and I'm done, and that is take care of your parents. They take care of us when we're young. We need to take care of them when they're needy or when they're old. Amen? And the Bible has something to say about this. We're in 1 Timothy on Sunday nights. We covered this not long ago. 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, that is his own family, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You see, even unbelievers take care of their own in most cases. So for a Christian not to care for his elderly mother or father or both of them is shameful. He's denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. Jesus spoke about this when he reprimanded the Pharisees and the scribes, those hypocrites. They appeared outwardly so righteous, but he knew the real story. In Matthew 15, verse 3, "Why do you also," he says, Jesus says to them, "why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What Jesus was addressing were those who said, it's all right to not take care of your parents. Just tell them that you're going to give that money to the church, to the synagogue. What could be a blessing to them? It's got a greater use for the church or the synagogue. Jesus said at that point, what you're doing is you're replacing my law to honor father and mother with your tradition. And really what it was a cloak so they could just pad their pockets with that extra money coming into the synagogue. He saw right through it. They were not honoring their father and mother because they were not caring for them, even financially. Sometimes we need to care for our parents in that way. So, all of these ways, obedience to parents, honoring parents, helping them, thanking them, praying for them, pleasing them, enjoying them, forgiving them, learning from them, and taking care of them, all of that is a part of what God calls us to do. Here's what I would say to us in closing. This simple thought. The true test of our Christian faith is how we live at home. It's not going to be how we conduct ourselves in church. We're pretty good at that. The Pharisees, the scribes, were really good at that. It's how we live with those who know us best. The true test, sir, of your Christianity is how do you treat your wife? The true test, ma'am, of how much you love the Lord, the true test of your Christianity is how do you treat your husband? The true test of our Christianity as parents, how do we treat our children? And the true test of any child's faith and their love for God is, how do you treat mama and daddy? Do you obey them? And do you honor them? Let's bow our heads. Father, help us. Forgive us. For we see, Lord, from your word, we all fall short. We all do. And Lord, my prayer is today that we'll see just how serious that is. It's not to be taken lightly when we disobey, when we fail to obey completely, promptly, when we dishonor in any way by attitude or what we fail to do. There's so many ways, Lord, we violated your word and how we all need forgiveness. Lord, I pray today for those who may realize they've never been saved, that today would be the day of salvation, and that you would give them a new heart, new life. And Lord, for us who have strayed and failed you, especially in this regard, as it comes to the way we've disobeyed or dishonored our folks, please forgive us, Lord. Restore us as we repent, as we turn, and as we strive to do better. Do things the right way, the way that would please and honor you. Just do a work in our hearts, Lord, and then we know that that would influence and affect our homes. And all because you deserve the glory, you deserve the honor. That's what we want. That you be glorified in our lives and in our homes. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.